for those with the big print on Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. But here is my servant, the one that I uphold, my chosen who brings me delight. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring justice to the nations. He won't cry out or shout aloud or make his voice heard in public. He won't break a bruised reed. He won't extinguish a faint wick. And he will surely bring justice. He won't be extinguished or broken until he has established justice in the land. The coastlands await his teaching. And God the Lord says, the one who created the heavens, the one who stretched them out, the one who spread out the earth and its offspring, the one who gave breath to its people, and the life to, and light to those who walk on it, I, the Lord, have called you for a good reason. I will grasp your hand and guard you, and give you a covenant to the people as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to lead the prisoners from prison, and those who sit in darkness from the dungeon. I am the Lord, that is my name. I don't hand out my glory to others or my praise to idols. The things announced in the past, look, they've already happened. But I'm declaring new things before they even appear, and I'll tell you about them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. O Holy One, we gather around in expectation for you. We wait for light in our darkness. And we know that you are the light of our lives, O God. Talk to us now. Let us feel your presence and your word this morning. I should talk to us through the words of the prophet Isaiah, as we talk about bruised reed and light that will not be quenched. Amen. Trauma. Have you heard that word before? No? Trauma. T-R-A-U-M-A. Yes? It describes events that leave a deep wound in people's hearts. So what might be an example that you can think of trauma? People in hospital, yeah?
Having a terminal illness.
Terminal illness? Right? Yes.
I'm not even traumatized.
I can't think of anything. You can't think of anyone? Anything or anyone? There you go. Yeah. Losing a job. And I heard that sometimes at this time of year, that happens, layoffs happen. Is that true? At the end of the year. Yeah, so it could be traumatizing, especially if you didn't expect it. Mm. Anyone else? Last year, did you lose your job during Christmas? Oh, there. All right. And found it when? Found another one when? In September. Wow. Long way. The death of a loved one, a divorce, a sudden illness, or a diagnosis of an illness, an accident. And there are lots on the road today. War, rape, murder, if your house burnt down, or a family member suddenly died during the Christmas season. For some, it's being told that they have Ebola, a disease that, for now, does not have any cure. Some scholars suggest that these writings of Isaiah that we're listening to were addressed to people who had just experienced trauma. The exile of an entire people to Egypt, to Babylon. They have been to Egypt once in their history, now to a new country, a new place. has been described like the experience of millions of Jews during the Holocaust in Germany, in Europe, or the Japanese when the atomic bomb was dropped in their island by the Americans during the Second World War. These people that we are reading about today were forcibly taken from their homelands. Many members of their families and their neighbors were killed. Some, according to reports, were actually dragged in chains to this new place called Babylon. And once there, they became slaves once again, just like those years or centuries, actually, when they were in Egypt under the pharaohs, not knowing if they'll ever go back home again. And so we can imagine what it must be like for them to endure this time of deep humiliation for their country. And their captors would taunt them. They would tell them, go ahead, because they had destroyed the Temple of Jerusalem, you see. And they say, go ahead, sing for us those songs that you sing in your church, in your temple, sing them for us. And they came with these famous lines from the Bible, by the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion, because they could not sing those songs anymore. So you can imagine how difficult it must have been for a prophet like Isaiah to speak to a situation like this. Kathleen James Cabot, a pastor from Saskatchewan, asked for prayers yesterday for a woman in her congregation whose son had just been murdered. And I wrote to her and I said, I can only pretend to understand what it must be like for her and for you as you're holding this grief at this time. And soon after, Terry Ellis, who attends church here at Queen Anne's, messaged me to say that my neighbor, his neighbor's dad had cancer, and his brother was given only up to Christmas to live. And this particular person wanted to talk about it, wanted to come. And I said, yes, let's meet up. And then after that, I asked myself, inside myself I was asking, so we meet up, but what am I going to tell her? What can I say to her? And I'm sure Isaiah had the same challenge. What do you say to people at a time like this when they feel that even God had deserted them? The God that they worshipped in the temple, who used to defend them against their enemies, was nowhere to be found. And I want to ask you, have you had one of those moments? It's like you make a phone call to heaven, you call God, and on the other end of the line it says, your call is important to us. Yeah, we hear that. Please stay on the line. Oh yeah, that's right. You pick a number, or you call again. Call later. Heaven goes mute. God is silent. And I can imagine the people looking at Isaiah and asking, what can you tell us, Isaiah? How are we to make sense of all of these things that are now happening to us? And I think a person in trauma asks those questions. When a person in trauma says, why me and why now? That person is asking the same questions that Israel was asking at that time. And today, these readings come to us. Isaiah 42, 1 to 9. In the past weeks, Isaiah had different images for the people. He talked about God as a warrior who will deliver his people. And true enough, that will happen, but some of them died, but some did go back to Jerusalem. Isaiah describes God as a woman in labor, and tells the people that as painful as these moments are, if you can just hang on a little while, you'll see that something is being born here. And you gotta trust this process. He describes God like a shepherd, and people knew them because some of them were shepherds. A shepherd who holds his people close to his bosom. But for the very first time today, in all of these readings, you're presented with something new. A And the new image is that of the suffering servant. That is what I would like to talk to you about. Israel is compared to a reed that is bruised, a wick that is burning dimly. So the suffering servant, this man who is about to come to them, he says, he will be bruised or wounded, but will not be broken. His light, although dim, it will not be quenched. That's why I was telling you, Suzanne, that today we were going to talk about bruises, because you still have your bruise on your nose. So think about that for a moment. One of the promises of God in the Bible, words of assurance and comfort addressed to us today as they were to our ancestors in faith. And you can hear this in many ways. You can hear it as being spoken to us as a congregation. And it would sound something like this. Queenie, in spite of all the things that have happened to you in the past, in spite of all of your struggles in the present, you will not be broken. Your light will not be quenched. And you will go on to become a light for the community. That's one way of reading it. There's another way that you can read it, and that is you can make it personal. You can put your name and say, Carol, Lochin. I was going to say Molly, then I found Molly is not here. You will not be broken. I wanted to say that to Malik as well, having a difficult time not being able to see her kids for the last 6 months. You will not be broken. Your light will not be put out. You will rise and you will shine. Why? Because the Lord your God is, as we sang this morning, Emmanuel. Any idea what that means? Yes. I didn't know you knew Hebrew. Yes. So in the Hebrew language, Emmanuel means God, our God, is with us. So how does that make us feel? It's like when we're feeling really discouraged because of something that happens or because of something someone has said, and a trusted friend says, you are stronger than you think. You will get through this. You may feel wounded all over, but your spirit will not be broken. You may feel like you're in darkness now, but your light will not be quenched. It will not die. And sometimes I wish there were just somebody who would tell me that and really mean it. Because spoken by someone with deep compassion, those words are life-giving. And that is one of the ways that we can also be Jesus to each other. During the darkness, we can be the ones that are holding that Christ light for others, just like the man in our video this morning. Isaiah reminds us that there is a resilience in the human spirit that can make us invincible. There is an immense power that is inside us that we can call when trauma comes. And that is the good news. But there's more. He says, not only will you not be broken, not only will your light not be quenched, but you will also become a light to the nation. And so we're told that God blesses us because God wants us to be a blessing to others. When God gives us a blessing or a gift, it is never just for us. It is in order that we are able to make of our lives a gift to others. And the more we do that, the amazing thing is the more blessed our life becomes. Here's a true story. Lee Miller from New Jersey was involved in a trauma. It was a car accident where he ended up with damaged nerves and spinal cord injury, even had a brain surgery. And the doctors told him, these doctors told him, you will never walk again. And for a long time he couldn't. But through years, many years of physical as well as cognitive therapy and a positive attitude, Lee Miller recovered. And some days ago, he said goodbye to his wheelchair. And these were quotes from the report. He said, it was hard. It was hard. I had to challenge myself every day to walk again. And I knew that I had to work hard if things were going to change for me. And change they did. Because today, not only is Lee walking again, he's also running. And he has won several gold medals as a runner in local marathons in New Jersey. That's a remarkable story for me. It's an inspiration to the people in his community that this has happened. And that story illustrates the power that is working in us. In Christian language, that power that is working in us is called the Holy Spirit. The power working in us that Paul says can do far more than we can ever hope for or imagine is the Holy Spirit.